Venezuela after Maduro, a crack of light shines through. Warning, this article contains graphic descriptions of torture. Caracas, Venezuela, on the outskirts of Venezuela's capital city, Caracas, citizens mill about the streets, smiling and carrying on with their lives in a way reminiscent of what it was like in this once prosperous and free nation before socialist policies took root. A mere stone's throw away sits El Rodeo, a notorious prison and torture center. The country's former leader, Nicolas Maduro, who oversaw a period of catastrophic collapse, violence, and political retribution against Venezuelans, currently sits in an American prison, but El Rodeo serves as a looming reminder of the remnants of his regime. Jayawenka Avila, sister of political prisoner Henry Berth Rivas, who is imprisoned at El Rodeo, said that when security forces arrested her brother, they tied him to a police vehicle and dragged him. They beat him, attached electrodes to his testicles, subjected him to electric shocks, hit his feet with a small hammer, causing his toenails to come off, she said. It has been roughly 8 months since the United States captured Maduro and his wife during a daring, overnight operation, but the impacts from decades of violent, corrupt rule linger. The Epoch Times traveled to Venezuela after Maduro was removed from power and met with citizens, dissidents, journalists, and former prisoners who described Venezuelans as a traumatized population. However, they shared a common belief that they can transform their home back into the prosperous and free country it once was. U.S. oversight. From 1950 to 1982, Venezuela was the richest country in Latin America. Socialist policies took root by the late 1990s, when Hugo Chavez rose to power, rewrote the constitution, and aligned the country with Cuba, Iran, and China. Maduro ruled for more than a decade after Chavez died, but things have changed under U.S. President Donald Trump's leadership. In the early morning hours of January 3, U.S. forces descended on Caracas and successfully apprehended Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, and transported them to New York City to face narcoterrorism charges. The deposed leader's trial is set for June 1, 2027. Both he and his wife have pleaded not guilty. Maduro's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, was allowed to assume control under the watchful eyes of the Trump administration. On August 1, U.S.-backed negotiations began between Venezuela's interim government and a section of the country's opposition. The United States has said it intends to remain involved until Venezuela is stable, economically sound, and holds a free and fair election. We've established what I think, so far, has been a very respectful and productive line of communication as we go through this stabilization phase and towards the recovery phase, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said. There's a lot of work to be done here. Hundreds of political prisoners in Venezuela have been released at the Trump administration's direction. I would also like to report that, as of today, 626 people who have been deprived of their liberty have been released from prison, Rodriguez said earlier this year. But it is not enough, Venezuelans told the Epoch Times, because Rodriguez was part of the apparatus that imprisoned these people in the first place. Political prisoners. Intimidation and false accusations are common tactics the Maduro regime used against its political opponents. The violence and torture that followed for those taken into custody became even more normalized. It likely still happens to this day. Edward Acariz, a human rights activist who was jailed for 4 months during the 2024 elections in Venezuela, said his case is still open and he is awaiting a summons for a trial. We know very well that these trials will not begin. However, my legal proceedings remain open as a mechanism of intimidation, he said. 10 armed men with no identification abducted him from his home one day. He was accused of terrorism and incitement to hatred, among other charges. If you say anything, they won't give you the food bag you need in order to eat, he said. We went from that to psychological terrorism in Venezuela. We went from that to criminalizing anyone who is a dissident or whom they consider to be opposed to the party line. Avila said her brother was detained in 2018 and accused of taking part in a drone attack against Maduro. He received a 30-year sentence. His case was solely crafted by the Maduro regime's agencies, which used confessions obtained under torture as evidence. Avila's brother, Rivas, had no right to due process, a fair trial, or fair treatment. They beat him, put a hood over his head, and sprayed insecticide into it, Avila said. Then they submerged his head in water and kept him suspended for around 15 days. They placed him in solitary confinement, inside a dark cell filled with cockroaches, rats, and with no ventilation. It took 48 days for Avila to see her brother again. Bruises covered his body, she said. This scenario has played out for thousands of Venezuelans who lost loved ones to politically motivated imprisonment, torture, and death, and they are forced to continue their lives in fear of the same thing happening to them. Outside El Rodeo prison, this is the case for Maciel Cordones, whose son has been imprisoned for years. She told the Epoch Times that her son, José Cordones, served 4 years at El Helicoide, historically the most notorious prison in Venezuela. He was transferred 2 years ago to El Rodeo, where he remains. My son has been tortured. Every political prisoner has been tortured, Cordones said. If the regime could not find the individual it was searching for, it abducted relatives, she said. Cordones said at El Rodeo that several members of the same family have been taken for this reason. The conditions we have to endure here. I don't regret it, because it's for my son's freedom, Cordones said, standing outside a row of small tents where protesters plead for their family members' release. In and around Caracas alone, an Epoch Times review of UN and non-governmental organization reports identified about a dozen official or unofficial sites where similar abuses against political prisoners have been documented or alleged. It remains unclear how many of these sites exist across the country and whether the conditions have remained the same in the months since Maduro's capture. Directly in the middle of Caracas is El Helicoide, the Maduro regime's main torture center. It is known as one of the worst in the surrounding countries. Thousands of Venezuelans have been subjected to horrific conditions inside. At the time of Venezuela's prosperity, El Helicoide was built as a drive-in shopping mall. The regime took it over in the 1980s. The mall was never completed and instead turned into the facility that stands to this day. Rodriguez claimed that it would be shut down following Maduro's capture, but even now, a heavy police presence patrols the area. A statue of Chavez atop the building also keeps watch. Freedom of speech, press. Basic freedoms are slowly returning to Venezuela, but the fear of the remaining regime outweighs citizens' desire to fully exercise them. Oscar Murillo, general coordinator of human rights organization Provia, spoke to the Epoch Times candidly about the current state of his country but said he had no guarantee that he would not be persecuted for doing so the very next day. The authoritarian system has not been dismantled in Venezuela, he said. Delcy Rodriguez has preserved that system. They are all part of the same structure. Venezuelans' desire for deep and genuine political change is alive and growing. That change must involve casting out what's left of the regime through legitimate, democratic pathways, Murillo said. It has also become necessary to completely overhaul the Venezuelan judicial system, which enabled Maduro's criminalization of political and social dissent in the country. That framework is still in place, Murillo said. A change that restores our institutions to serving the people and allows us to have legitimately elected, democratic authorities so that, with that legitimacy, we can finally begin the transformations we need in the social, economic, cultural, and educational sectors of the country. For journalists, who were viewed by the regime as enemies, there has been a modest change since the former leader's capture, Venezuelan reporter Luna Perdomo said. She described Maduro's persecution of the press as having steadily increased over his years in power. By 2024, it was in full force. Many journalists were already in exile, unable to work in Venezuela because they were being threatened by the government, Perdomo said. Many journalists were forced to leave the country. Those who were abroad couldn't return. If you were inside the country, you couldn't even leave. Maduro's government began canceling the passports of journalists, Perdomo included, without any justification. After Maduro's capture, Rodriguez released more than 20 imprisoned journalists, Perdomo said. Six of them are still under supervision and are required to report regularly to the courts. Press freedom is still restricted, Perdomo said. Journalists still do not have access to many places in the country. Riches to rags to riches. Decades ago, Venezuela was the richest country in Latin America on a per capita basis, but between 2013 and 2021, it lost more than three-quarters of its gross domestic product. Luis Crespo, an economics professor and vice president of the Teachers Association of the Central University of Venezuela, called it a historic collapse. The country currently produces about 1.3 million barrels of oil. In 2021, that amount fell to just 600,000 barrels, Crespo said, blaming inefficiency, corruption, and poorly designed public policies. Wages have remained stagnant for years. Venezuelan public employees, about 3.8 million people, only earn about $200 per month. That's why you see them working only 2 or 3 days a week, Crespo said. He told the Epoch Times that most professors in the association work 2 or 3 jobs to make ends meet, which distracts them from research and other duties at the university. Historically, the Central University of Venezuela is the most significant academic institution in the country. For a university professor such as himself, with a PhD, multiple publications, proficiency in a foreign language, and at least 20 years of teaching experience, the base monthly salary is abysmal, $1.10. With additional bonuses, which are not considered wages, their total monthly income is around $200, Crespo said. This same professor at the beginning of the 2000s, or compared with their peers across Latin America today, typically earn between $3,100 and $3,200 a month. To return to Venezuela's proper glory means more than just restoring it economically. Venezuelans suffered years of physical, emotional, and psychological torment. Nearly 8 million have fled since 2015. Families have been torn apart and remain separated. The Epoch Times guide for the Venezuela trip, Carlos José León, fled the country in 2018 out of fear of the Maduro regime and has lived in Brazil since. His brother, who also fled in 2018, has been living in Colombia. They had not seen each other in nearly 9 years. I decided I had to leave. He had already made that decision, León said. He was a police officer, that had always been his dream, but the pay was terrible, and what he saw inside the institution made it clear that sooner or later he'd end up repressing people, and one day, I might be among them. The Venezuelan regime, like many authoritarian regimes, strives to break families apart, because, in doing so, it destroys people's ability to resist, he said. In Colombia, León was finally reunited with his brother. His brother told the Epoch Times that he had been training to join SEBIN, Venezuela's intelligence service, which indoctrinated its trainees. He said he could not continue listening to the agency's lies while his family and others suffered. I want people to think I'm serious, that I'm strong, but behind that, there's someone who still hurts for having left his country, León's brother said. It hurts that I couldn't fulfill my purpose there, that I couldn't contribute what my country needed. Moving to Colombia gave him what Venezuela could not: work, stability, a future. Here, thank God, I know that if I work, I can plan for what comes next, he said. That has been one of the greatest gifts this country has given me, but it still breaks my heart that it couldn't have been my own country. Ávila said every Venezuelan's greatest fear is never achieving freedom from the regime and remaining under its darkness. After January 3, when Maduro was captured, a crack of light that had been blocked for decades was renewed, Ocariz, the human rights activist, said. What we're seeing is not an open door, he said. It's just a few rays of light reaching us, but certainly, that psychological terrorism still continues. Coming soon, the Epoch Times exclusive documentary, Venezuela After Maduro. Watch the trailer now.